So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Whoops, lost the verse. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sixth canto, chapter 15. We're starting with verse 26 and reading till the end of the chapter, which is verse 28. The title of the chapter is Narada and Angira Instruct King Chichiketu. So I guess what I'll do is chant all the verses, read all the verses, and then we'll come back and chant the first one together. Okay. Tasmat svastena manaso vishrimya gatimatmanah daivate dhruvarta vishrambham tyajjo pashamam avisha. Therefore, O King Chichiketu, carefully consider the position of the Atma. In other words, try to understand who you are, whether body, mind, or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. Try to understand your real position in this way, and then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You will also be able to give up the belief that this material world or anything not directly in touch with service to Krishna is eternal. Thus you will obtain peace. Text 27. Shri Narada Uvacha etang mantra pashidhadam praticha prayato mama yang dharayan saptaratrad dashtha sankarshanam vibhum. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear king, attentively receive from me a mantra which is most auspicious. After accepting it from me, in 7 nights you will be able to see the Lord face to face." Text 28. Yad paramulam upashrutya narendra purve sarvadayo brahmamimam dvaitayam vishruja sadyastadiyam atulannadhik tam mahitvam prapur bhavam api param nacharad upaiti. My dear king, in former days, Lord Shiva and other demigods took shelter of the lotus feet of Shankarshan. Thus, they immediately got free from the illusion of duality and achieved unequaled and unsurpassed glories in spiritual life. You will very soon attain that very same position. Now, going back to the only text that has a purport, text 26, we'll chant together. Tasmat svastena manasa vishrija gatim atmanah dvaite dhruvartha vishrambham chajo pashamam avisha tasmat svastena manasa vimrishya gatim atmanah dvate dhruvartha vishrambham tyajo pashamam avisha tasmat svastena manasa vishrimshya gatim atmana dvaite dhruvarta vishrambhang chayajo pashamam avisha. Vaishnavas? Tasmat svastena manasa vimrsha gatim atmanah Dvaite Juvarta Vishrambham Chaijo Pashamamavisha Tasmatsastena Manasa Vishrimya Gatimatmanaha Dvaite Juvarta Vishrambham Svasmat svastena manasa Vimrishya gatim atmanah Dvaite juvarta vishrambham Dvaite pashama mavisha Vaishnavis? Tasmat sastena manasa Vishrishya gatim atmanah Dvaite juvarta vishrambham Chaijo pashama mavisha Tasmat sastena manasa Vimrsha gatim atmanah Dvaite juvarta vishrambham Chaijo pashama mavisha tasmat Therefore, sustena with a careful manasa mind vishrishya considering gatim real position atmanaha of yourself dvaite in the duality dhruva as permanent artha object vishrambham belief tyaja give up upashamam a peaceful condition avisha take two translation therefore O king Chitiketu carefully consider the position of the atma in other words try to understand who you are whether body, mind, or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. Try to understand your real position in this way, and then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You will also be able to give up the belief that this material world, or anything not directly in touch with service to Krishna, is eternal. Thus, you will obtain peace. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Krishna consciousness movement is factually endeavoring to bring human society to a sober condition. Because of a mixed-directed civilization, people are jumping in materialistic life like cats and dogs, performing all sorts of abominable, sinful actions, and becoming increasingly entangled. The Krishna consciousness movement includes self-realization because one is first directed by Lord Krishna to understand that one is not the body, but the owner of the body. When one understands this simple fact, he can direct himself toward the goal of life. Because people are not educated in terms of the goal of life, they are working like madmen and becoming more and more attached to the material atmosphere. The misguided man accepts the material condition as everlasting. One must give up his faith in material things and give up attachment for them. Then one will be sober and peaceful. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Vive Guruvani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunivari Paschachare Sutarane Om Manganati Miranda Sivinandina Shokaya Chakshur Vandatumjaya Tasnaya Shri Gurudeva Maha. So, it's interesting that generally when we consider you're not that body, we can kind of consider that to be Krishna Consciousness 101. Right? We tell that to our children when they scrape their knee. Don't worry, you're not that body. It'll go away in a few minutes. And we very almost flippantly for often kind of take the idea that we're not a material body for granted. We know that. We know we're not this body. We read it in the Bhagavad Gita. It's at the very beginning, long before Krishna speaks the most confidential knowledge and the essence of the realization of our eternal relationship with Krishna in the 7th, 8th, 9th chapters of Bhagavad Gita. But there in chapter 2, it stares at us that we're not this body. And, you know, when 1968, 69, maybe even now, I don't know, people who are enthusiastic, overzealous perhaps, about sharing Krishna consciousness, meet somebody in the street or meet somebody at a dinner program or on campus and they say, you're not that body, this body's just a lump of stool and urine and blood and pus. And you know, very efficiently describe the horrors of the material body, and it's all true. But then the question is, do we really believe it? When it comes right down to it, do we really accept the fact that we're not this body? How much in our day-to-day life do we consider factually, as we go through our business from birth to death across the spectrum of the changing bodies exhibit, do we really consider we're not that body? And not only us, do we really consider that others are not that body? Do we consider that our children are not that body, that our mother is not that body, that our father is not that body, that our friends are not their bodies, that the other people walking in the street, they're not that body, that they're all spirit souls, they have eternal loving relationships with Krishna. And we pursue that loving relationship with Krishna, and rightfully so. And now, with the mercy of the internet and cheap book publishing, you can go now to Vrindavan, and you can go to Ras Bihari Lal, or Bihari Lal's and Sons, and you can purchase books on the most esoteric topics of Krishna Prema and the rasas between the gopis and Krishna. And we can, you know, swim in the nectar of those pastimes. But the question is, do we really know we're not that body? And are we ready to swim in the love of Radha and Krishna without this prerequisite? As you know, if you go to college, you know that you can't sign up for English 2 without the prereq of English 1. They won't let you in the class, right? So here we have our 101, our first required learning experience that we're not that body. And we have to move that out of the platform of gyan into the platform of vigyan before we can actually truly proceed with the realizations that we are so anxious to have, you know, to see those parrots flipping upside down in ecstasy as they watch the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. We pray every day to Srimati Tulsi Devi, let me go to Vrindavan, become a resident there, and engage in the loving service of Radha and Krishna. But before we can get there, before we can enroll in those higher level courses, we have to come to the realization that we're not this body. And here, Chitraketu Maharaj was approached by Angira Muni initially, and Angira came to give him spiritual knowledge, but he saw that he hadn't really gotten it. He hadn't really moved that Krishna consciousness 101 subject matter from the process of learning it to the product of having it. And because he didn't have that knowledge, you're not this body, he wasn't able to understand the higher lessons of spiritual life. And therefore, Angira Muni couldn't instruct him. And he saw, this guy doesn't get it. So what he did was he set up a scenario to remove that anartha from Chitraketu's heart so that he would be able to understand. Now please understand that Angira Muni knew that Chitraketu Maharaj was not an ordinary person. Right? Just the fact that he was talking to Angira Maharaj, and that later he'll be talking to Narada, and then ultimately he'll be talking to Krishna, and he'll be, you know, going to Lord Shiva's abode, and so many things he'll be doing. The indication is very clear in the Bhagavatam that Maharaj Chichiketu is not an ordinary man. If everybody in this room who can handle 1,000 or 1 million spouses could please raise their hand. How many of you can handle one? So he could handle so many spouses. He wasn't an ordinary man, right? But yet, he was so obsessed with trying to have an heir to the throne, even though obviously, we went through this in my previous class, it wasn't possible, it wasn't willed, but he was obsessed with it. He was attached. And because he was attached, it was obvious to Angira Muni that he hadn't gotten it. Krishna Consciousness 101. So, if you look at Srila Prabhupada's lectures, even beginning in 1966, 1967, 1968, Prabhupada was teaching 101, right? He would sit in front of a class of total spiritual misfits, like myself, right? People who were intoxicated, people who had long, bedraggled hair, and whose feet smelled with a fragrance that could knock you out of the temple room, especially when we were collectively together. And with beads and smelling from marijuana and so many other things, right? We were very progressive people, completely degraded. Prabhupada was shocked to see how degraded human beings could actually be. He'd never seen anything like it. And yet he sat in front of us and he spoke Krishna Consciousness 101. He gave us this. I have a little excerpt here from a class. This was given in 1968, in April. He said, so when Arjuna decided not to fight, Krishna instructed him this Bhagavad Gita. It's very interesting. He said, you do not deviate from your duty. Do not think you are killing your relatives, because you, me, and all the persons who have assembled on this battlefield, they were existing before, they are existing at the present moment, and they will continue to exist. It is simply changing the dress. That means that you and I, all of us that are present here, we are all individual spirit souls. And we are present here as a different dress. Similarly, we are present here in this world and in another world with different kinds of bodies. According to Vedic literature, there are 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies. So God, he gave a very nice example. If we study this example with little intelligence, we can understand this doctrine of transmigration of the soul very quickly. And then he quotes Dehi nosmin yatha dehe, and then he says, this is in the Sanskrit language, but I will try to explain it to you in English. Okay, and he proceeds, and at the end he says, you are spirit soul. Just try to understand that you are spirit soul. And try to understand on the platform of spiritual understanding, and then all your problems will be solved. Just like Angira Muni is telling Chichiketu, when you get this, when you understand that you're not this body, then you'll be in peace. And not 1 minute before. There was another lecture given in 1968, which I thought was very intriguing. It was given to a bunch of MIT students. MIT is a very prestigious institute of technology. And Prabhupada was lecturing to a bunch of very intellectual people who considered themselves to be very materially advanced. And he started his lecture telling how you're into technology, well, so we are also. This Krishna consciousness is also technology. And I want to tell you a story. He said, I have a little quote. He says, where is it? He says, he says, this is a very nice story. It is also about technology. You will like it very much. Anyone can guess what the story about technology was? The scholar and the boatman. Prabhupada proceeded at that point to a room full of geeks to speak about the scholar and the boatman. He said, once upon a time, there was a very scholarly person, very advanced, just like you, in technology. And then there was a very simple Bengali boatman, and he proceeded to tell the story of the scholar and the boatman. So, isn't that funny? Here we are, talking to an audience of very materially intelligent people, and there it is again, Krishna Consciousness 101. So here, Angira, again, very intelligent, very advanced, very special person, and he didn't get this one point. So we have to remember this again and again and again. Yesterday, Madan Mohan Prabhu, he was talking about how very often we rationalize certain things or we make excuses. In psychology, making excuses is called rationalization, right, Tamil Mahaprabhu? So you make excuses, but what happens is you start to believe those excuses to be the reality. You don't really see them as excuses. You see them as what's really happening. And so we make excuses why we can't chant our rounds, because I don't have time, I'm too busy, quality is more important than quantity, I have to, whatever, I'll do it when I get older. We had two of our students visiting us, our former students, now college, one of them has a college degree, MA, BA, and the other one is just about to go into a four-year college. And we were talking to them, we said, could you just tell me why it is that you don't take up the practice of Krishna consciousness seriously? I mean, you were in this ashram, you had a great experience, you're here, you're even visiting your teachers after all these years. Why don't you take it up? And one of them said, well, to be honest with you, I feel just like the kids in Prahlad Maharaj's class. You know, I have to enjoy now. This is my time for hanging out, for having fun, for doing different things. And when I get older, then I'll take up Krishna consciousness. Then I'll get about my business. But that's not what Prahlad Maharaj's instruction was. His instruction was very different than that. And now we can see, just a few minutes ago, Lakshmi Narasimha Prabhu came in front of all of us and he listed a whole bunch of different devotees for whom he was asking us to offer some prayer. Right, this person is having operation, this person is having cancer, this person is having this one is getting a plastic hip, and so many different things. Prabhupada told us, padam, padam, yadvi, padam, natesham. Subhag Maharaj, preaching in Jakarta and walking. How many of you walk? Everyone walks. We all walk, right? But he got hit by a car, now he's in the hospital. And health is serious. And so all of us, we go through this process. I just went to visit my mother. Now, there's a lesson in 101, I'll tell you. Because you go to visit someone who's older and it doesn't have Krishna consciousness, and all you see is fear. All you hear is fear. The mind is saying, don't worry, you're eternal. You're not going to die. Just go watch Jeopardy. Have fun. You know, go out to the restaurant. Check out a movie. Life is, you know, great. You can still walk, you can still talk, you can still see, you can still drive. Life's first class. And then the phone rings and you're invited to a funeral because so-and-so just died. But she was playing canasta with me just a week ago. She was my Mahjong friend. We used to hang out at the club together. But now she's not here. And you know what? I have to go visit my other friend because she was just going to the doctor today to find out if it was possible that she was going to have some kind of lung surgery or there was some other intervention. So one after the other, after the other, after the other, all the people around me, they're leaving. They're dying. They're getting sick. But it's not me. No problem. I'm okay. At least I can move. I can walk. I can talk. I can drive. I can have a good time. Do you want to go to the restaurant this afternoon? So this is, we have to be careful because we have this knowledge. Prabhupada gave it to us right from the very beginning. The first time he saw us, he gave it to us. And we weren't ready. I mean, we could say, well, Prabhu, I'm not ready for that knowledge. It's more fun to read Krishna book or to read the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, certainly relishable. And I'm not ready for detachment. I'm not ready to understand that I'm not this body. But Prabhupada thought we were ready when we didn't know anything about anything. We were still taking acid. And Prabhupada still thought we were ready. And he gave it to us straight. And he said, I'm going to give you a mantra. I want you to chant this mantra. And by chanting this mantra, you'll come to the realization that you're not this body. He said, I was reading, he said, you're not, there's many rules, but I'm not going to tell you what they are right now because you're not ready for the rules. I'm just going to give you the holy name and this philosophy, this 101 philosophy. You are not that body. Now, if you chant this mantra, you'll get it. Now, here, Angira Muni is telling Chichiketu, when I first read this, I thought, where's the mantra? I'm going to the next chapter. I'm going to find this mantra. Because he says, I'm giving you this mantra, and in 7 nights, you'll meet Krishna face to face. 7 nights. I mean, how long have you been chanting Hare Krishna? But he said, 7 nights, and you'll achieve pure devotional service. You'll look at Krishna face to face. So what's standing in your way? Well, when I first came to you, I saw what was standing in your way was you still didn't know you weren't that body, and you didn't know that the material world wasn't going to give you any happiness, and so I had to teach you a lesson. Now you're sitting here blubbering for 2 days, and everybody around you is crying. All your billions of wives are crying. Your baby's dead. Do you get it? Now, if you've got it, then we can go to 102. And I'll give you this mantra, and you can chant it, and you can achieve pure devotional service. So are we ready? Are we ready to move forward? Because we don't know when the exam's coming, right? We're offering prayers for the welfare of these devotees because we want them to be well long enough to go back to Godhead, to realize the ultimate goal of human life. What if we didn't have the warning to offer the prayer? And that happens. I had a friend, Ushik Prabhu. I don't know how many of you knew him, but he was an older devotee. He was a friend of he was the father of a friend of mine, a devotee also. And he was preaching by himself. He was traveling around. He was an older man when he joined, and that was in 1969 or 70, right? 70? And so he was older then. He was like in his 50s or 60s. And he sat down one day, and he died of a heart attack on a bench. He was found several hours later by a doctor because he was sitting in front of a doctor's office. And he was just sitting on a bench out in the street all by himself in the middle of nowhere. And that's how he left his body. So maybe he was remembering Krishna. We would like to think so. And certainly he engaged in much devotional service. But no time for us to say, could you please offer prayers for Ushik Prabhu? He's not feeling very well and it may be critical. No, he was gone. And so each of us, we have that knowledge. We know that. Now, on the other hand, knowledge is like a scalpel, right? Scalpel can be used, if it's in the hands of a surgeon, it can be used to perform very delicate operations and save people's lives. But if that same knife is in the hand of somebody who's in ignorance, it can kill people. So we saw that perhaps when we first got this knowledge, we were a little bit arrogant or a little bit in illusion about our understanding of Krishna consciousness, and we perhaps took that knowledge and we applied it in ways that caused harm. Right? That's why now, remember when Maharaj was here the other day, those two Indian brother devotees, Radha Raman, I believe, was one, and I can't remember the other. Anyway, they were here, and one of them was speaking, and he said, you know, I'm giving you this information, but in America, you always raise your hand and say, but what about, how come, but isn't it? And he said, but still, we have to take this point, right? We have to take this point. So we see in many things, we proceeded perhaps a little bit blindly, you know, with the enthusiasm of youth. I've been living with youth for a long time. And you watch, you know, and as you grow, you move slower. Not only because your body makes you move slower, but because your intelligence tells you, walk cautiously, analyze things, right? look at the way things before you make a decision. But when you're young, you know, you look, 1, 2, that looks good, I'm going for it. And you think you're kind of invincible. They have this invincibility syndrome where you kind of think, yeah, that happens to everybody else, but not me. And you just rush in where angels fear to tread, right? But when you get older, you slow down a little bit. And so with spiritual life, not only older physically, but older spiritually. As we advance in spiritual life, we move slower. But it doesn't change the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The fact that we perhaps misapplied it or used it improperly doesn't mean that the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not true. It doesn't mean that this 101 idea that we are not this body, that our children are not really our children, that our families are not really our families, that we're not going to find the ultimate happiness from material things. It doesn't mean that that's not true. It just means that we have to know how to apply it with intelligence, that we have to take our responsibilities on the ground that we have seriously. That we have to apply Vaishnav Sat Acharya, proper behavior between devotees. We have to apply that to our daily lives. We have to treat each other with respect while we're in the material world. We have to understand our needs while we're in the material world, our needs for recreation, for eating, for sleeping, for defending, for comfort. We have to honor those things. And so if we take that knowledge of we're not that body, and we try to become too renounced too fast, it explains in the nectar of devotion that it makes our heart hard. We become prematurely cynical. Right? We see a little bit of cynicism in ISKCON sometime. Anybody notice? We become a little cynical because we see so many mistakes. But we don't become cynical at a child when they don't walk at the beginning, when they fall. We don't become cynical and think, ah, you're never going to walk, you nincompoop. You're 1 and a half and you keep falling. I don't get it. Or, you know, no, it's the fact is that's our permission. That's our adhikar. We're going to fall. Prabhupada actually said we should be surprised at the people who don't ever fall. That falling is the way. It's what we're going to do. We're going to fall. We're going to get up. We're going to move forward. We're going to fall. We're going to move, you know, little by little, incrementally. We're going to come to realizations. And now, fortunately, we're starting to have what we might seriously be able to call senior devotees. When I was a senior devotee, so when I first joined the movement, a senior devotee was someone who had been in the movement 2.5 weeks instead of 1.5 weeks, right? And you couldn't really inquire very much from anyone but Prabhupada, because no one really knew very much more than anybody else. I got a letter the other day. I answer letters on Krishna.com, and someone wrote me a letter asking me, I heard in a lecture that when you put your neck beads on, if you turn them around your neck twice, then it means you're a devotee of this incarnation. If you turn them 3 times, it means you're a devotee of that incarnation. And so how many times are we supposed to wrap our neck beads around our neck? Well, who cares? Right? So 101, just get it. You're not that body. And chant the Hare Krishna mantra and move forward. So here we are, maybe some of us have been here 30, 35 years, some of us have been here 30, 35 days, some of us have been here 3 years, whatever. This basic philosophical understanding that I am not this body, that you are not this body, we have to get that before we can move forward. And we have to live it. To whatever degree we are able, we have to live it. And whatever we can't, because we're not able, we have to respect it. We have to be very careful not to become cynical about the ultimate philosophical understanding that we are not this body. And that our goal is to become completely 100% detached from material life. Otherwise, we get angry with that philosophy. And we don't want to go there. We put it off somewhere else because we're afraid of it. We're afraid to actually understand that we're not this body and what that means. But by Prabhupada's grace, we have the ability to understand from the very, very beginning. And we need to do that. Just like here we see Chichiketu, he needed to do that. Whatever else he had, whatever else he achieved, he was a great devotee. He had so many qualifications. But he didn't get this one point, and therefore he was not able to hear from Angira. He was not able to hear from Narada Muni until he got that point. And so seriously his Guru Maharaj saw the need for him to get that he killed his child. I mean, he didn't physically kill him, but he knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to put him through that experience. We have that night first in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishna says, this fool, he's asking me for material things, but should I be such a fool also that I should honor that material desire? No, I know that this person is my devotee. And because I know he's my devotee, I know really what he wants is to go back to Godhead. So I'm going to give him experiences that will help to extinguish that fire of desire for material life. I'm going to give him experiences which will propel him forward. And certainly this experience that Angir Maharaj is giving Chitraketu is such an experience to push him forward, to help him get it. Yep, you're not that body. And you're not going to find any circumstance in the material world which is going to make you happy. So now, do you understand? Now you can dry your tears and you can begin to chant this mantra and go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada has done the same thing for us. He gave us the knowledge. We need to listen. Hopefully Krishna won't have to give us these kinds of experiences, but he will. He'll take everything away if that's what we ask him, if that's what we force him to do. He'll leave us standing bare in the middle of nowhere, begging for the mercy of the devotees, begging for the mercy of Krishna. Because that's what we need to do to become eternally happy. And Prabhupada knew that, and he gave it to us from the very beginning. So now we need to take it up. We need to live by it. And then, truly, we can become happy and peaceful in Krishna consciousness. So I'll end there and ask if there's any questions. Hare Krishna. Lakshmi Srinagar Prabhu.
Thank you very much for the class. It was wonderful. One question I have is, and it seems to come up a lot, on one hand, the philosophy of the realization, the vigyan, as opposed to the gyan, that we're not our bodies, and the emphasis on that. And also, we've heard in previous classes and previous purports about approaching the lotus feet of the Bhagavatam, the first nine cantos, first, before we progress to the absorption in the tenth canto. But it also seems like Prabhupada's strategy, and I've heard lectures Prabhupada has given in the late 60s and early 70s are absolutely amazing, talking about esoteric topics, etc. And we also see within the context of Srila Prabhupada's books themselves, within Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada really pushed for us to get out and even to distribute, and even in Nectar of Instruction, the last few verses, the very intimate, very detailed knowledge like this. So there seems to have been a kind of a dual track in Prabhupada's presentation that is remarkably comprehensive in terms of how much to give and when to give it. So I don't know if it's restlessness or whatever it is, the realization that we're not our body, and then the implementation of that, the vigyan aspect of that, and then also to study the more esoteric aspects of the philosophy. I mean, how do we balance it? What is the safe track, so to speak? I mean, Prabhupada did give us esoteric philosophy about Radha and Krishna and the gopis, but it seemed to be a very chaste presentation. In Krishna book, and even when he talks about it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So as one does progress and one does hear the philosophy and understand we're not our bodies and accepts that fact, but still maybe the behavior is not quite there, but there may be an interest. So where do we draw the line? How do we progress? What strategy do we implement in our lives?
Boy, am I glad you had a microphone. I'd have to repeat that. Well, first of all, we have to understand that Prabhupada saw that he had little time on this planet. And so he was in emergency mode in many things he did, you know, and that's why he moved very quickly. He gave us 101 and our master's thesis in the same lecture in many, many cases. And because he knew that he had to give us everything, and he had to give it to us, as you said, in a chaste way. I think that was a very poignant statement, because he translated Krishna book at the beginning, especially, and also nectar of instruction. Because, and he stressed, actually with nectar of instruction, he stressed even that we should distribute it to the public. And it's almost like he had a premonition, or, you know, he was Trikalagya, certainly, that he could understand what was about to come forward in terms of spiritual knowledge or spiritual availability of knowledge, that the order in which nectar of instruction is laid out before you get to the esoteric stuff at the last four or five shlokas, you get some very basic vajra vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, you know. So, and also Krishna book, Prabhupada gave it to us, and he gave us that esoteric knowledge, but it's thoroughly laced with very basic philosophy, very, very clearly. And I think, actually, Shiva Ram Maharaj gave a presentation before the GBC plenary this year on balancing, just exactly this, on how do we balance the fact that now there may be some devotees in our movement who are actually ready to pursue higher studies in Krishna consciousness. And yet there are also many devotees in our movement who are not ready. And the and even those who are ready need to be very careful. It's a very, very, the trajectory is dangerous. You have to be very careful how you proceed. So how do we balance those two things? And his position was to be very, very careful about who, in whose association we discuss these topics and how we look at them. And his suggestion even was that publicly in mixed assemblies of young devotees and older devotees, we not discuss them very much, except in a very, very chaste way to Srila Prabhupada's direct instruction. And he cautioned us about, you know, many of these new books that are out and translated by various people, and we read them and they're, and you know, we think, like you just said, that Prabhupada gave us very esoteric topics, but the degree of esotericness that's available beyond what Prabhupada wrote is, there are many layers and it goes very, very far. So Prabhupada gave us enough that we can study that, we can relish that, and we can become enticed to become serious enough to go there, to go back to Godhead, kind of like going to a travel agent or talking to people who've been to somewhere and looking at the beautiful blue waters and the gorgeous mountains and hearing about the wonderful whatever it is that it is you want to see there, the temples there, and that makes you want to go. So then you go and you raise the money to get the ticket and you get the visa and you go through the whole procedure before you actually get there. But that's not the same as being there, and you have to be very careful, because if you proceed improperly, if you think, well, yeah, that's a great place, I just want to go there, and you don't thoroughly study how to go about finding the right places, and, you know, India is such a place, certainly, that there are many wonderful things, and you hear about and you want to go, but if you don't plan your trip carefully, if you don't get guidance from advanced persons, you can go to India and have not a very good time, and get really sick, and, you know, get robbed, and so many things can happen to you, and you come back and think, well, they said it was really nice, but that wasn't my experience. So I think that we have to be very cautious. We have to proceed very cautiously. Prabhupada wanted us to want to go back to Godhead, but at the same time now there's much information available to us that Prabhupada didn't give us in that way that it's being given to us now. And not to say that we shouldn't take it, but we should take it very carefully, and we should make sure that we're chaste, to the instruction that Prabhupada gave us, to be conscious of the order, and Prabhupada's very careful instruction. It's interesting, when you said about the Chaitanya Charitamrita coming out, I was thinking about when I was in L.A. around that time, and that whole Gopi Bhava thing hit the fan, and Prabhupada was so angry that it was hard to even imagine him being that mad. And he was angry because people were choosing from his books only those parts that were about Krishna and the gopis. That was just from his books that they were choosing those parts about Krishna and the gopis. And they were neglecting the other information. And Prabhupada in his purports many times says, you know, we don't want to read about Krishna on the battlefield. We don't want to read about Grandfather Bhishma. We just want to go to the 10th canto. So Prabhupada admonished us and cautioned us. So if we're going to be chaste to Srila Prabhupada's teaching, then we have to go in order. We have to read the nectar of instruction in order and get the beginning before we get the end. 101, have to do it, prerequisite. And we have to keep remembering that as we move forward. That's the only way I can see balancing those two things. Yes, Prabhu. Can you just wait for the mic? Because otherwise I have to repeat the question and I'll probably massacre it.
I have a question, but what you were saying just now reminds me of a little story that made a big impact on me many years ago before I joined the devotees. And it's a story about a boy who is 5 years old and grows up in a village and his parents send him to school. And the teacher says, first lesson, we're going to learn to write the number one. So he writes the number one on the board, and the boy writes the number one. And the teacher says, okay, now we're ready to go to number two. And the boy says, I haven't learned one yet. And he's like, what kind? And the teacher's like, what kind of an idiot are you? It's just one. He says, no, I haven't really learned it yet. I'm going to keep practicing. So teacher gets fed up with him after, you know, trying to persuade him to go further. Sends him home. The parents are trying to persuade him, come on, time to go on to number two. He's like, no, I haven't learned one yet. So his parents get fed up and throw him out of the house. And everywhere, this story, everywhere he goes, he's just writing the number one in the dirt with a piece of charcoal on the wall. Everywhere he goes, he writes the number one. He goes on like this for many years. And then finally one day, he sees his teacher again. And the teacher kind of looks at him with a smirk, says, so, have you learned the number one yet? And the boy says, I think I have learned it. And he takes a piece of chalk and writes on the wall one, and the wall splits in two. So the story behind it, you know, I mean, we can all give different interpretations, but my question based on that is, do we really need to go further? Or if we stick with one, can we get to two automatically from one just by practicing one and reading just Prabhupada's books?
I would tend to say that we can get to two by reading, by practicing one repeatedly. I feel that was Prabhupada's gift to us. That Prabhupada gave us everything within that one, because just like Prabhupada says, if you put a one in front of all the zeros, then they become millions. So Prabhupada gave us that one. And I think, I personally feel very strongly that Prabhupada gave us everything. Not to say that we can't enhance our understanding of Prabhupada's gift by hearing from other devotees, by reading other scripture, but it has to be done very carefully. I see a lot of difficulty, and also I think how we study the Shastra is also something of concern, because Prabhupada didn't give us Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, in such a way that it was Gyan. He laced our learning with Vigyan from the very beginning. That was part of his 101, actually, was to engage in devotional service, to scrub the pots, to wash the floor, to get up in the morning. Remember, Kripa Sindhu Prabhu, we used to polish the brass at 2:30 a.m. Every day we would polish the brass and redo the vases every morning before the curtains opened. Mangal Arati time, all the vases would be shiny, all the flowers would be fresh. We learned Krishna consciousness by practicing Krishna consciousness, not by going to classes. Now, going to classes is a great thing to do. There's no problem there. I'm a teacher. But if we don't practice Krishna consciousness while we're going to classes, we get something other than Vigyan. And that knowledge doesn't grow the way the knowledge grows when you water it with hearing and chanting and service and preaching and, you know, actually putting yourself on the front lines, engaging in Krishna's service. Just learning the books or reading books, sitting home and reading books, trying to memorize the Sanskrit words, know all the terminologies about how the... I was reading one book, I just opened it actually, and at the end, actually it was Jivadharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but it's translated in such a way, and I'm not able to read the original, but it's translated in such a way that someone wanted to preserve the Sanskrit words. So every other word is a Sanskrit word, and the other word that isn't Sanskrit is an appositive. If you know what an appositive is, for all you English teachers, it's a word that defines the word before it. So every single word is a word that defines the word before. It's impossible to read it. And so you may sit there and get it, you know, well, he's the gopi, one gopi smiles this way, and the other one smiles that way, and this one smiles that way. But why? You know, if you don't know that you're not that body, if you're not engaging in devotional service, where is it going to take you? This is my realization. Other people may have different understanding, but I personally feel that Prabhupada gave us the one that we can put zeros there, but if we don't have that one clearly in our grasp, we're not going anywhere. Or we may go somewhere, but it may not be where we want to go. Sugata Prabhu.
With what Tulsi was saying, I mean, Prabhupada basically told us if we chant 16 rounds and follow the principles, we go back to Godhead. So, you know, so many people are thinking, well, in order to get back to Godhead, you have to do this, you have to know your sarup, you have to, you know, it becomes so complicated. But actually, Prabhupada made it so easy for us. And I was also thinking of the verse that says, for one who has implicit faith in the guru and in the scriptures, to him all the purports are automatically revealed. So that's very telling. And then also, Srila Prabhupada's own example, you know, Prabhupada was, you know, highest realization, but he didn't choose to stay in Vrindavan and, you know, meditate on his eternal form. His whole mood was compassion to spread this, you know, 101 to everyone. So really, that is really the highest, is Srila Prabhupada's example, and how he untiringly, you know, went from place to place just distributing this knowledge. So,
I think it's kind of ironic that many of the persons who are endeavoring to find out their swarup don't chant 16 rounds. You know, it's not even required. You can chant four. How about three? One every other day? Whatever, you know. But by minimizing the order of Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta and the discipline, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then what happens is we're committing one of the offenses against the chanting of the holy name, which is to minimize the order of the spiritual master. And so we don't really get the benefit of that chanting and everything that comes after it. It's not realized. It's just gyan.
And it also seems that oftentimes in that process, that Trinadapi Sunichena is somehow they're cast to the side, that all of a sudden we have people who are so advanced that they can't associate with other people. So that also seems like a very dangerous place to go in many ways.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yes, Prabhu. Last one. It's getting late.
Thank you, Mother Lakshmi, for a wonderful class. Just as the advanced devotees are speaking, I'm being inspired by the realization that, yes, humility is really the key, entry level adhikar to enter into these topics, because, you know, obviously without humility we won't accept, we won't practice properly, and then we won't get the result, the benefit. So just thinking how, in my case, that's so true. And then also the just to share with others my realization that that faith, you know, we hear that Shraddha is the first step, right? So then Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Natanavriti Nishtha, so on and so forth. So we all want to jump, you know, go straight to the top. But somehow we leave behind this most basic thing, and what you're saying is so true, that we still are not realizing. We know, yeah, I'm not this body. But on the faith level, so we hear, and that's the first step. So we hear that, you know, that Lord Nityananda is distributing love of God, prem, in the marketplace of the holy name. And to the degree one has faith, which is the first thing, then one can purchase the mellows of that love of Godhead and everything that comes with it. So it's just so amazing to me to remember that and think about that again. How, and then, of course, faith is manifest in how you how you practice it, how you live it. So I just wanted to, you know, reiterate that, how, you know, through the chanting of 16 rounds and just, you know, coming to the morning program and, you know, following the regulated principles and all that, that just having faith in that, that everything automatically is revealed. But then again, you know, there's that realization that comes, but then again, the practice. So being in a young body and, you know, having to maintain a family and so on, there's these needs that you were saying that we have to respect, that everyone needs to take care of the body and so on. So, like the verse was saying, we must become sober and intelligent and learn from the examples of others. This is first class in intelligence, not always having to learn the hard way. But also, how to not just through fear and, you know, how to get so serious. But, you know, what is something that attractive about, you know, so a positive reinforcement way of wanting to learn this more on the Realize platform, that I'm not this body, and actually, even though my family are all devotees and I have this wonderful community and this wonderful service to perform in this life, that it's not going to be all smooth sailing. It's not going to be all, you know, I can have my cake and eat it too, you know, and material enjoyment and spiritual enjoyment. So, you know, how can I be enticed to take it more seriously, but not just because, you know, it's a scary thing, you know.
The how to. Well, I know with Srila Prabhupada, the inspiration for taking up the process was Srila Prabhupada's inspiredness. Watching him, seeing his conviction, it was contagious. So for each of us, it's our responsibility, according to our position, to mirror or reflect that enthusiasm, that faith that you speak. But faith is very inspirational. When you come in contact with someone who really believes what they're saying, then that's contagious. And it gives you the power to do things. Like the Christians have this saying, you know, faith moves mountains. But we also, mukam karoti vachalam, by the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can climb mountains. So we can do things if we think, I want to be Prabhupada-like. I want to move forward and experience love of Godhead and have the faith that Prabhupada showed by doing what he did, by coming to America at an old age, by living alone in God knows where with no man. Today I was overhearing, I don't want anyone to get offended, but today I was overhearing someone talking. I was on the altar and I could hear. And someone was saying, I don't want to go to India. It's too hard. You have to take your shoes off at the airport. And I thought, we take our shoes off every time we walk in the temple. It's a big deal. And then I was speaking to that person and they were saying, but it's too scary, you know, it's too frightening. But if we're enlivened enough, if we think, yes, this is really what, then we're willing to undergo whatever austerity is. So Prabhupada, if you read, there's a nice story written by Mula Prakriti, or not written, but put in a book by Mula Prakriti Prabhu about Srila Prabhupada. It was a wonderful story about one older devotee in a temple in Mayapur. Actually, it was in Shantipur, I believe. And he came to the temple with a BTG and told the devotees, I have a story that I want to tell you. And he told the story about how for years, this old Baba would come every now and again, and he would sit in the back of the temple room and he would chant his rounds. And he was so into his chanting that he never felt comfortable, this pujari never felt comfortable going to him and speaking to him. He just would watch him chanting. And then one day he came and he was sitting in the back crying and crying and chanting and chanting, and so finally he decided he better speak to him. So he went and he approached him and he said, you know, is everything okay? And he said, well, actually what it is that I've been given the order by my spiritual master to go to the West and preach. And so I've been coming here and waiting for the time and just praying for the ability. And I was praying, and now I'm going to leave. I have my visa, I have my passport, I'm just about to leave. He said, and then just recently, and this is several years ago, he said, some white person came into our temple and gave me this magazine. And now I'm looking at this magazine and I see his picture. This is him right here. And he showed Prabhupada's picture. So the Prabhupada had been coming there, and just on the faith of that relationship with his Guru Maharaj, praying. Think how scary to go across the ocean, no money, America, New York, Bowery, you know, but Prabhupada did it. So if we can keep that in front of us, then we can climb mountains. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.